Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This week we review Atlas Shrugged Part 1, and a special DVD pick of the week, Temple Grandin. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And, well, Mr. Film, Ayn Rand's classic novel, Atlas Shrugged, has finally been adapted to the screen.
All right.
The novel's premise contemplates what happens when the movers of the world, the industrialists and the businessmen, go on strike.
I have to get the Rio Norte completely rerailed in 9 months, and I'm gambling your new metal can do what you say it can.
I'm staking my business on it.
Nobody's used Reardon metal. Why do we have to be the first?
Well, they say you're intractable, you're ruthless, your only goal is to make money.
My only goal is to make money.
Yeah, but you shouldn't say it.
If we're going to bring Reardon down, we should do it from the inside. What is wrong with the world?
Well, I ask useless questions. Who is John Galt?
Now, Mr. Film, I'm a big fan of Atlas Shrugged, and adapting the novel, which is well over 1,000 pages, for the screen is a huge undertaking. The producers of this movie have opted to break it into 3 individual movies, and what we have now is part 1 of the story. The movie is mainly told through the eyes of Dagny Taggart, a railroad executive, and Hank Reardon, an industrialist who's created the lightest and strongest metal known to man, known as Reardon metal. The story has been adapted and set in the near future, where gas prices are so high that rail transportation has returned to be the norm, and air travel is all but non-existent. The world is falling apart, and government regulators are tightening their hold on the big bad business tycoons, making it harder and harder for them to produce. Yet a mysterious thing is happening. Many of these tycoons are quitting, or shrugging, if you will, and disappearing. Of course, the famous line from the book, "Who is John Galt?" is repeated here when the question is asked about what is wrong with the world, and the saying is meant as a euphemism for don't ask questions that can't be answered. As an adaptation of Rand's epic novel, the PG-13 rated movie is just okay. Much of the story had to be truncated given the movie's small budget. And the small budget shows, as most scenes take place indoors, so we don't get that grand feeling of the novel, though there are a few exceptions. And the relatively unknown cast is miscast at times. The biggest problem is most of these characters appear too young. Taylor Schilling as Dagny is attractive and the strongest character here, and there is real chemistry between her and Grant Bowler, who plays Hank Reardon. The acting all around is decent, although a little flat at times, and the part of Ellis Wyatt, another industrialist in the story, is horribly overacted. On the whole, though, those who have read the book should be able to follow along and enjoy seeing some of these scenes come to life. But for the uninitiated, I fear there are too many characters and too many plot lines packed into this hour and 40-minute picture. They likely will be lost. Thematically, there are some adequate dramatizations of one of Rand's themes in the novel, altruism versus egoism. The altruist, self-sacrificial philosophy behind much of the government regulations is demonstrated, and I'm happy they showed this semi-effectively. The final scene, however, of the movie, which tried to encapsulate Rand's egoistic philosophy in voiceover, is nothing short of a hatchet job and doesn't really match or feel relevant to the story that was just told. Still, in the end, I do think this is worth a watch. As I said, this is a difficult undertaking, and at least they didn't try to totally rewrite the story and turn Rand's ideas into what they're not. So I'm going to give this a B-.
Yeah, Mr. Movie, I think you're on the right track here, to keep with the railroad theme. I had high hopes for this picture. Given the source material, this had the makings of one of those great epics, you know, that we don't get to see too much anymore. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, we got a TV movie pretending to be a big picture.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about the performances and how difficult that it was to adapt a complex novel like Atlas Shrugged. I agree with you. There's a more fundamental problem here that really shows. There's just no dramatic momentum. There's no tension, no sweep or grandeur. It's established early on that civilization is on the brink of collapse, yet other than a few homeless folks here and there, we don't really have any evidence of it. And what should be big action moments, for instance, the running of the John Galt Line, which is a railroad that Dagny Taggart builds to save Colorado or something, over the new track is just pretty dull. Now, I agree with you that Taylor Schilling and Grant Bowler are pretty good, and I agree with you that the fellow who played LSY is just pretty hammy. But I want to talk about the really bad. Director Paul Johansson, who does double duty as the mysterious John Gall, is pretty terrible. He portrays Gall as this sort of Norrish detective, complete with a slouch hat and trench coat, with him just walking up to the great, you know, entrepreneurs, spouting a few out of context bits of philosophy, and then the guys just up and, you know, disappear. Now, if you don't know the source material, I think that it at times verges on the laughable, which is unfortunate because Atlas Shrugged is about big ideas told in a big way. And that's whether you agree with the ideas or not isn't the point. The presentation just doesn't work here. It's too bad that they just delivered us such a small picture. Now, finally, and I'm going to touch on, kind of build on what you were talking about earlier, I really don't know who the audience for this picture is. If it's designed to get people to read the novel by giving them a taste of it, well, I don't think it worked. I've read the novel, and this didn't have me wanting to run back and read it again. I've seen adaptations of books I really liked that have done that. Not here. Now, an argument could be made that only someone sympathetic to the ideas would like this film. And I think that's the case. Personally, I doubt anybody other than a fan of the novel or someone already sympathetic to the ideas of Ayn Rand will even bother to see this film. And honestly, quite honestly, I doubt that we'll see the conclusion of this series. But the fact that Schilling and co-star Bowler are sort of good and it wasn't too painful to watch, I'm going to join you and give it a B- as well.
All right. I think that's fair enough. I don't know. I think maybe you're being a little bit too harsh, you know, on the audience and whatnot. You know, I think there is enough here to some, you know, somebody might watch this movie who hasn't read the book and just say, what the heck was that? And but there is enough that's kind of interesting. Just the idea of the plot lines and the conflicts that are going on. I think there's enough here that resembles the actual story of Atlas Shrugged to get people to, you know, even if they don't like this or they think it's laughable at times, which it kind of is. I think there's enough here to if somebody sees it to the uninitiated that they will actually, you know, they might be interested in picking up the book. But that being said, this is a low budget picture. I'm not sure how much distribution it's going to get. I'm not sure how much promotion and advertising it's going to get. So I don't really see it doing, you know, big numbers in that way. And, you know, like you said, I think this is more of a made for TV movie. I think it would play a lot better on TV. So I think my recommendation is if you're a fan of the book and you're really waiting to see this or you want to check it out, fine, go see it in theaters. But I think if it finds a life on HBO or DVD or something, I think it'll actually play better and be more enjoyable on your screen at home.
I agree with you there, too. I think it really – and it really looks very TV-like from the production values. The editing is very TV-esque. The lighting is very flat. Most television is very flatly lit.
Yeah.
You know, even things like, you know, big budget shows like Lost and such, for the most part, it's a very, very evenly lit sort of thing. All the people who made the film, Paul Johansson, the cinematographer, the editors, they're all TV people. So, I mean, they did a credible job. This is a credibly competently made film. It's just not very big screen. It doesn't feel like a big screen thing. Yeah. I do want to say one thing I do want to point out is that the script, there are moments in the script that are pretty they made some changes that are pretty good. And the opening montage, particularly for people who are familiar with the novel, they put in an opening montage that kind of sets the stage. That is really actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And they get kind of right into the story pretty quickly, which you need to do with only an hour and 40 minutes and about 300 pages worth of material that they're condensing here. And what has basically set off the destruction of civilization is a crisis in the Middle East. Oil is now like $37. You know, the gasoline is like $37 a gallon.
Yeah, right.
Air transport is not there anymore, etc. So it really kind of parallels what's happening right now. So I think someone, even if they watch and say, I kind of see your point. I think if someone's watching this, says, "What the heck is this?" I think the setup is good enough that it may just pique someone's interest to go and look at the novel. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on something that's interesting, and that is that for those who have read the book, it is interesting to watch this and see how they sort of solved and condensed a few issues in the novel. And some of them are kind of surprising and make you think, oh, wow, that's kind of an interesting way to address that or condense that or bring it down. So for fans of the novel, that's kind of interesting to see how they change things. And it's not all bad either in terms of how they did that. So
no, actually, in some ways, it's fairly clever. And they had to do some of the things that they did for various reasons that, you know, it's really not necessary to go into in some length, but it does reflect a more modern, in some cases, some more modern sensibilities, which I think is important for if they want to get to a larger audience and pique their interest in the ideas. But you know, overall, it was a little disappointing given how long the film has been in development hell for about 40 years, and
right.
And given how much time and effort's been spent by a lot of people, including the folks who made the film, John Aguilaro, I think, who's the producer, and Harmon Caslow. So they spent a lot of time working on it and trying to bring it to a credible version of the film of the book to the screen. And again, whether you're a big fan of the novel or not, or the ideas or not, this needed to be an epic story, and they just kind of missed. That's where they really missed the mark. They just really didn't bring that epic scope to the film. So it is unfortunate in that way.
Well, Mr. Film, as a big fan of the book, I actually didn't have high hopes for this movie.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, going into it, I was expecting it to be really terrible. I just didn't see how they could put this together or make it even decent. And you know what? They did achieve that. So I went in with very low expectations and was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't completely terrible. Because the media and Hollywood, oftentimes they get Rand's ideas wrong and they mingle them up and they turn them into something that they're not. And I was happy that they didn't do this here. And, you know, it is kind of it follows the story. They basically just kind of copied what went on in the story. So they didn't try to change too much. So I was highly skeptical and was pleasantly surprised. So I think the picture deserves some credit for that.
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did their best for what they, you know, what they had to catch capture the spirit of the novel. And I think it'll be really interesting to see this, down the road, maybe in a few months, revisit it when it comes out on DVD or if it's available on HBO or pay-per-view or something, to revisit it on our home screen and see if it plays a little bit. It feels a little bit bigger. I'm wondering if that might be the case. So,
all right,
we'll see.
All right.
So, Mr. Movie, while Atlas Shrugged seems too small for the big screen, our DVD pick for the week, Temple Grandin, a made-for-HBO picture, transcends the small one in a big way.
My name is Temple Grandin. I'm not like other people.
She's an amazing visual thinker.
Are you a scientist?
I used to work for NASA.
Can you bring everything you've seen to your mind?
Sure. Can't you?
We know how different she is.
Different, not less.
You have a very special mind, you know that? Think of it as a door. A door that's going to open up onto a whole new world for you. Pick a subject.
Cows? Do they have colleges with cows?
Yes, they do.
Why are some mooing more loudly than others? There must be a reason they're saying something.
Well, I reckon you could get Dr. Doolittle on out here. He probably could tell you.
Mooing. You want to do research and write your master's on mooing.
You wacko.
I know my system will work because I've been through it 1,000 times in my head.
My husband read about you.
Miss Grandin, this is a masterpiece.
I don't want my thoughts to die with me. I want to have done something.
It's nothing short of a miracle.
Just released on DVD, Temple Grandin is the true story of animal behaviorist Temple Grandin, a brilliant, humane scientist who single-handedly reformed the meatpacking industry by improving both the way the cattle are treated and its efficiency and profitability. And Temple has succeeded despite, or maybe because of, the fact that she is autistic. The film, written by Christopher Monger and Merritt Johnson, is based on several books by Temple Grandin and details her life from the point that she was diagnosed as autistic when she was a toddler to her postdoctorate life in the early 1980s. It's an inspiring tale. Temple's intelligence shines through at every point. She understands that she has a disability, but she uses the fact that she quote, thinks in pictures to get into the minds of the animals she's studying. Claire Danes, who plays Temple, deserves particular kudos for her work, and she did receive an Emmy for the role. This is a fully realized, sympathetic, interesting character. I liked Temple and was rooting for her the whole time. I liked how she never gives up, never backs down, and does what's right. It's an inspiring story in the best sense of the word. But what makes this picture more than just an inspiring tale is the way director Mick Jackson tells Temple's story. Temple is able to get inside the minds of the animals she's studying, and Jackson is able to get inside Temple's mind. We see how she thinks, her literal-mindedness, her ability to see, literally see through problems in pictures, diagrams, metaphors, similes, always visually. Temple understands that she thinks differently and uses it to her advantage, and we see how this is an advantage in her work. But there's more to Temple's story than inspiration. I also like her humanity. Now, Mr. Movie, I'm a big animal fan. I have the best cat in the whole world, and the idea that Temple spends a big part of the picture working at stockyards made me a little comfortable on first. I know where my hamburger comes from, but that doesn't mean I really want to see the assembly line. But Jackson handles these scenes with a deftness I admire, and Temple's approach is humane. She makes a brilliant point that the animals wouldn't have been bred unless we were going to eat them, but that doesn't mean they should be treated poorly. And by treating the animals humanely, she increases the productivity and profitability of the stockyards. Now, the real-life Temple is also a famous advocate for those with autism, and we see a little of her early advocacy and the invention of her hug machine, which is one of my favorite parts of the film. This is really a handsomely made film with a terrific supporting cast. Julie Ormond as her mother, David Strathairn as one of her teachers, and Catherine O'Hara, who is a delight, who plays her aunt, are all great. This is probably one of the best films I've seen in a long time, and I'm highly, highly recommending it. As a matter of fact, I'm putting it as a must-see. So put it on your DVD queue and rent it as soon as possible. I'm giving Temple Grandin an A.
Well, Mr. Film, I'll do you one better. I say just go out and buy it, because this is one of those movies that you're going to want to have on your shelf and watch, every few years or whatnot. This is really, really a terrific, terrific picture. And you hit the nail on the head here. There's a theme in here that life is sort of a series of doors and you just sort of have to walk through them. It is good. But it's also, it's also a challenge for Temple to do that. She has, this fear sometimes of doing that. And so I really like the thematic elements here. But one thing you didn't mention or touch on very much is the humor in this movie. It has all these great themes and is really about a great subject. But the humor is perfectly integrated in here, and it's really funny at times. And, she thinks in pictures, and they oftentimes, when somebody says something or whatnot, they cut to what she might be seeing in her head. And a lot of times they're very funny and they're interesting. And, a lot of other movies would have maybe started that at the beginning and then just forgot about it later on in the movie. We've seen that time and time again.
Yeah.
And if you do that, it doesn't really work. And it was really risky, I think, to do that. But here, it works really well because I think they completely embraced it. They used it at all the right moments. And so that, I think, was done really good.
Yeah, I really thought it was great. And I think Claire Danes in particular, I'm not a huge Claire Danes fan, but this is one of those performances that really, really deserved Emmy recognition. This is not a stunt performance, just as we saw with Colin Firth in The King's Speech. I was thinking a lot about him while I was watching this picture. This is not a stunt performance. This is a fully realized character. This is a fully realized person. And on the DVD, they have a little making of featurette, and you see the real Temple. And she's, just Danes nailed her. I mean, she nailed
her. She nailed her, but she also made it her own, too, which is so phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great. It's terrific. And I just love, and it's just so, it's so great to see a character who is. And Temple actually, and you're right, she's a very fun-loving sort of person. There is a humor there. She's also very serious about her work, mm-hmm. and which is very refreshing. And her intelligence. I mean, she's not apologetic. She's a very, very highly intelligent person who sometimes struggles. And her intelligence gives her interesting insight into her own disability. So I thought this was a great picture and one that I would have paid money to go see in the movie.
Oh, absolutely. It totally should have been on the big screen. You know, Claire Danes should have been up for, you know, an Academy Award. It's good that she won an Emmy for it. You know, you mentioned the hug machine. After seeing this movie, anytime my wife and I, we would get in, you know, a little bit upset about something, we'd say to the person, oh, you need to go to your hug machine or something like that. I mean, it's one of those movies that there's so much in there that you take away from it and can really apply back to your own life that's really great. You also mentioned the cattle in this, and it does definitely have interesting ideas about, you know, cattle farming and whatnot. And I like that. That's kind of a fresh take on the industry. You see so much sort of anti, this is a bad thing kind of thing. And I think this actually makes an interesting argument, you know, in the opposite direction. And and also, you know, in this, at the same time, advocating being humane. So I really like that. It was an interesting take, one that I, that, you know, you don't see that much out there. And in kind of a big picture, too, in a big movie, which is kind of surprising. So I like that it took on some interesting subject matter. You know, I think it's really hard to make a, you know, to make an interesting movie about this issue of, you know, how do we improve cattle farming and whatnot. And here, you know, we have a movie where this, that's one of the main things that happens in here. And it's actually like a really interesting, dramatic aspect of how this story is told. So
yeah, it's, and that whole part of it's really, really fascinating. I was a little worried, quite honestly. I was a little worried. I don't get too squeamish about a lot of things, but I thought, I really don't want to get, I hope they kind of don't play this up a lot, but the way it was handled was great. And again, I liked her whole argument, her whole approach to being very humane, and she loves animals. I mean, this is something that's important to know. She loves animals. Wrote a whole book about animals and being humane to them and such. So I thought it's just a great. A great story on every level. I can't say enough about it. And this is one of those hidden gems that may have missed a lot of people's radar if they don't have HBO. But rent it, buy it, see it. So
definitely buy it. A from me, A from you, Mr. Film.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's it for this show. If you have a comment or question, feel free to call our comment line at 818-581-2010. Or if you want to drop us an email, just write to mail@moviefilmshow.com. As always, you can visit our website and listen to past episodes at www.moviefilmshow.com.
All right, Mr. Movie, I will see you next show.
All right, I'll see you, Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie, and air travel is all but non-existent.
Who is John Galt?
Taylor Schilling as Dagny is attractive. As I said, this is a difficult undertaking.
We don't really have any evidence of it. That's whether you agree with the ideas or not isn't the point. I'm going to join you and give it a B- as well.
This is more of a made-for-TV movie.
It's just not very big screen. I think the setup is good enough. The film has been in development hell for about 40 years.
I went in with very low expectations and was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't completely terrible.
While Atlas Shrugged seems too small for the big screen, Temple Grandin transcends the small one in a big way.
My name is Temple Grandin.
It's an inspiring tale. Pictures, diagrams, metaphors, similes, and the invention of her hug machine.
I'm not like other people.
I really like the thematic elements here.
This is not a stunt performance.
Oh, absolutely. It totally should have been on the big screen. This actually makes an interesting argument.
I can't say enough about it. See you next show.
All right, I'll see you, Mr. Film.
I don't want my thoughts to die with me. I want to have done something.